You're listening to Master in Badassery, the podcast all about finding your inner innovator. I'll be interviewing badass innovators in business, giving you actionable advice on how to tap into and discover your next million-dollar idea, and I'll be sharing my journey as I work to build my own innovative business with all the juicy stuff that I learn here. So quick, go grab your coffee or your craft cocktail, because we're just about to get into it. So let's turn that music back up. It is the first solo episode. All you have is just me and my voice. And I want to take this opportunity to start really highlighting and emphasizing what innovation is, why innovation is so important to me, and I think probably to you listening, and what the value of bringing an innovative approach to your business is in the grand scheme of problem solving and supporting your end goals, your clients' end goals, and adding some sort of value to this world, leaving the world a better place than you found it through your work, through your passion, through how you support your community with the gifts that you have, with your offers, with whatever you're doing, really to create value with your skill set. So I want to today dig into, you know, a little bit of my story, why I'm leading this journey through this podcast, what the value of innovation is, how to identify whether or not your approach is innovative. And of course, throughout the many episodes that will be to come, we're going to be exploring this idea of how to tap into that innovation, how to tap into your inner innovator. But today I really want to start laying that foundation, laying that groundwork of understanding why is innovation important to you, if it is at all. And I'm guessing because you're here and you're listening to this, it is important to you. So I'd love to make sure that we lay that groundwork, help you identify why is innovation important to you, and maybe break down some misconceptions about what innovation is and isn't, at least as I define it. You probably are hearing some stuffiness. I am getting over COVID. I am finally back to a somewhat normal state, although again, I sound like I have an anvil on my head. So bear with the stuffy, kind of congested sounding version of me. It's so funny. I've been getting comments from this podcast saying that my voice is soothing, which is actually really funny to me because I've always grown up feeling like I have an annoying voice. So maybe it's slightly less soothing right now and a little bit more reminiscent of what it's like to be sick. Either way, I'm glad you're here with me. I'm so excited to be back and actually connecting with you guys. So without further ado, let's just dive in to the content here. Now, I started this podcast because I am extremely motivated by innovation. I love to be different, but that's not exactly what innovation is, and I'll dig into that in a little bit. But for the sake of kind of the story and understanding me and why I'm leading this podcast, I think it's important to recognize why innovation is so motivating to me. I get a thrill off of being a pioneer, being the first to do something, having a unique approach to something. And it motivates me not just because I like being known for something, which I think kind of requires you to be an innovator in a sense, right? Bring something new that's noteworthy, that differentiates you from everyone else out there. But I'm also motivated by it because the process of creating something new, the process of being in the creative founding or the creative journey of finding a new solution and building it from scratch is really exciting to me. And that newness, that shininess really gets me working harder and more passionately on a project. So for both the ends of, you know, seeing the fruits of my labor and seeing how cool bringing something innovative to the table is, and also the means of actually going through the innovation process, both of those things really bring me a lot of joy. And if you're anything like me and that relates, you know, you relate to that, I'm really glad that you're here and you're listening to this, because you've already heard the stories of 4 different innovators, and you'll continue to hear the stories of many, many, many more innovators in the months and weeks to come. I'm sharing those stories because I want to connect you with other innovators who are thinking about innovation, maybe similarly to you, maybe even in a different way than you are. But you're also going to hear conversations with experts in innovation. So not just innovators, although I would say these experts are also innovators in their own right, but also people who are experts in different modalities of tapping into your creativity, into your innovation, into parts of you that will help you be better innovators. So for example, for those of you who don't know me very well, I am a marketer and a market researcher. I find that market research is one of the best tools at your disposal as an entrepreneur to tap into your inner innovator. And I'll talk about that a little bit more throughout the course of this podcast, obviously, because that's what I do. But the reason why I'm sharing this here is because as we connect with other experts in different fields and modalities that will help you tap into your inner innovator, I also want you to understand the different tools that I use so that you can hear firsthand what that experience looks like. Also hear from the people that I'm interviewing who are innovators, what tools have helped them tap into their inner innovator to come up with their next $1 million idea. And already from a lot of the people that I've interviewed so far, you'll hear that market research is a big part of what they do. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this here is because there's a lot of ways to tap into your inner innovator. And the important thing to note is that it doesn't take a natural, curious, naturally creative person to be an innovator. I think a lot of people think either they're born being an innovator or they're not. And that's just not the case. With everything, there is a skill set that can be formed by harnessing important tools, by tapping into parts of you that maybe you are leaving neglected. So I just want to set the stage here and create a playing field where all of us, no matter how innovative we feel, have the capacity to bring innovative ideas to the forefront, to become innovators in our own rights. And as you continue to listen to this podcast, I know that you're going to tap into brand new tools that will help you discover those parts of you. Market research is one of them that I love to preach and I love to use myself, and obviously I use with my clients as a way to bring you data and bring you ideas that can spark innovative approaches. And I'm talking about this a little bit today because I want to focus on what innovation means today. I really want to hone in on how I define innovation, which, you know, is only one definition, but for the sake of this podcast, is really the most important definition because I'm the one seeking out people to interview. Although, side note, if there's anyone who you love who's one of your favorite innovators, send them my way. DM me on Instagram at Forza Collective. You'll be able to find that link in the show notes. DM me your favorite innovators that you would love to hear on this podcast, and I'd be happy to reach out to them and try to get them on. But for the sake of this podcast, right, my definition of innovation is absolutely going to shape how this conversation continues to unfold in this community. And let's talk about that. What is my definition of innovation? Because to be quite honest with you, innovation isn't just simply doing things different for the sake of being different. Unfortunately, I think a lot of times we mistake innovation with uniqueness. And while I think uniqueness is an important factor in innovation, it doesn't necessarily define innovation. And what I mean by that is innovation at its core isn't just doing things differently, but it's doing things differently for the purpose of solving either a new problem that hasn't been solved before or solving an existing problem in a better way. So each of those definitions, right, highlights something different about it. Either it's different because it's solving a problem that hasn't been touched before, or hasn't been solved before, or hasn't been solved well before, or it's solving an existing problem, a problem that's been solved, but in a better way, in maybe a more efficient way, in a cheaper way, in a more environmentally friendly way, in a more socially conscious way. Whatever that is, it's something different. But the important factor is it isn't just different same, it's different better. And by different better, you know, I'm defining that as better for a specific community. Now, it's important to note that your innovation might not be better for all identities. Your innovation might be better for your specific segment. And in fact, an innovation, I think, is so much more powerful when it's approached with the lens of trying to make it better for a very specific niche or a very specific community, because the more specific your community is, the more specific the client is that you're trying to solve for, and the better sense that you have of that client, the more easily you can create a solution that truly is better for them. Think about trying to build a dream home for a really broad group of people. If I'm trying to build a dream home for millennials, it's just not going to be possible. I'm not going to create the dream home for all millennials across the board, because a millennial single woman might want something different than a millennial couple raising 6 kids. And the important factor is here that I'm starting with the knowledge of who I'm trying to solve that problem for, and then I'm working backwards to build a product or a service that's actually going to solve that problem. Of course, I not only need to know who the problem I'm solving for is, but I also need to know what that specific problem is. And this is where this comes back to market research and why I'm so passionate about market research and why a market researcher would be motivated to start a podcast on innovation. I think for me, knowing that the core value of innovation is solving a problem in a better way, in a unique and better way, it naturally means that you need to have that data. You need to have the understanding and that knowledge to know what better means to that community and what that community even is. I think a lot of times people say that they aren't innovative because they think of innovators like Elon Musk, who I have a lot of disdain for. But at the end of the day, I think it goes without saying that this person is very, very innovative. But you don't need to be a billionaire, like creating earth-shattering, like groundbreaking technologies to be an innovator. In fact, probably every single person, or at least most of the people that will be interviewed on this podcast, aren't billionaires. Maybe they're millionaires, running million dollar businesses at most. The important thing is they're creating groundbreaking innovations for their community, their corner of the world. And to be quite frank, it's so much easier and such a better place to start with your corner of the world, with your specific niche, because you have access to that data in a much better way, in a much easier way. You have the resources to make big innovations and big shifts in that smaller community because you're not trying to solve huge, broad, sweeping problems. You're trying to solve really specific niche problems that are still really challenging and really plague the people that you're supporting and trying to help. Now, these problems don't need to be giant. They don't need to cost millions and millions of dollars. These problems can be small in scale, as long as they're meaningful, as long as they're painful, as long as they are important to the communities that you're solving them for. That's innovation. Now, I also want to note here that innovation doesn't have to be just to solving the world's most pressing problems. You can be innovative in your approach to creating art. You can be innovative in your approach to creating clothing. You can be innovative in your approach to party planning, to creating, you know, something related to events, right? None of those things are inherently life or death, right? They're not like these big problems that are going to make or break, someone's life. But they are so vital to the human experience and to creating beauty and joy in this world. And I'd argue that joy is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, to seek and to create. So I also want to validate here that innovation doesn't just have to happen at this like life or death level, this serious kind of grave level. It can also happen at this level where we're creating joy and we're creating happiness and we're creating moments. And that's the value. And we're creating those in innovative and unique ways that are different by solving new types of problems or by approaching those solutions in just a new way that's actually creating more value. But with our innovation, we do have the opportunity to make the world a better place, right? We have the opportunity to save people money. We have the opportunity to make less of a carbon footprint. We have the opportunity to be more socially conscious. We have the opportunity to make people feel more connected. When I think about the people that I've interviewed so far on the podcast, we have one person whose innovation is really around creating more socially conscious ways to spend money. She's creating more equitable ways to compensate, and she's also creating more equity in how she treats herself. This is Becca from the Holistic Time Coach, and that's just one example of how, you know, in innovation, not only is she incredibly innovative in her approach to time management, which is her entire offer, but she's also really innovative in her approach to using the foundations of her business, the pricing, her own calendar and time structure, how she communicates and markets to her audience. She's doing that in an anti-capitalist way and really trying to add to this social movement by using the influence that she does have to make the world a better place, by creating a more ethical, less capitalist business that's also rooted in being trauma-informed, understanding racial inequity, understanding gender inequity, understanding different ways that her audience might be affected by how she brings forth and how she distributes the work that she does. So that's Becca, and that's just one example. Another example of innovation that we found in a couple different people, both Erica and Amanda, is a real innovative approach to delivering the same type of results. So both Amanda and Erica are creating really innovative kind of structures to the coaching world in very different ways. And right, the coaching world has existed for a little bit now. I mean, it's not an old industry, but it is certainly one that is evolving very quickly, this online coaching space. And we feel like we see the same thing again and again and again. It's kind of tired now. And these are two different people who are approaching a very similar type of problem. Now, of course, different audiences, different specific niches that they're solving. Of course, I'm not going to get into all the details. Please go watch or listen to those episodes. They're amazing and from two powerhouses. And I highly encourage you to listen to them if you haven't. But what I want to get at here is that their form of innovation is really centered around helping their clients get more value, extract better results. So we have one person who's, innovating in the better is not just from the standpoint of their offer, but the better is around more ethical, more socially conscious. The better for Erica and Amanda is really centered around extracting value, getting more bang for the buck, having better outcomes. Both of these are very important definitions of better, and of course are defined by their personal audiences, what their audiences are looking for. Becca knows her audience, Becca knows the people that she wants to work with, and Becca knows that for them, better is socially conscious, especially because it goes so hand in hand with the work that she does. Now, she's not doing it just because her audience wants it. She's also making sure that it aligns with the very bare minimum of her standards, and in this case, it doesn't just align with the bare minimum, but exceeds that and really makes sure that it's constantly pushing her. But the important thing here is that your innovation needs to be better for your audience. But at the end of the day, if you're the ones bringing it to light, it also needs to align with your values and your standards too. And in this case, for both of them, it does. The third type of innovator, let's talk about Natasha. I really connected with her because of her innovative approach to marketing. Of course, her offers are innovative. But the real thing that I find to be super innovative about her is her ability to connect and her ability to really build a personal brand that creates this just incredibly rich community. I find this to be innovative in kind of the category of making people feel heard, building deeper connections. I think a lot of times when it comes to business, we're left feeling a little bit like a cog in the machine, a little bit like a transactional player. And I think with Natasha's work, she does a really excellent job at innovating her business in a way that leaves clients feeling less of a transaction, less of a cog in the machine, and more like a human being that's being cared for and treated for. Now, I'm not saying that the other people who I interviewed aren't innovative in that way, but I think each of the categories, kind of the number one hallmark of innovation that I would walk away defining each of the people having used that I've interviewed so far, I would say that Erica and Amanda are innovating for deeper value. Becca has innovated for deeper social consciousness, and Natasha has innovative for deeper connection. And I think each of those pieces are only a small aspect of what they do to innovate, but I certainly feel that the outcome for each of those is most accurately defined by those terms. Why am I saying all this? I think it's important to recognize that better needs to be defined by your audience. What your audience craves needs to be the motivator for how you innovate. So like I mentioned before, innovation isn't just being different for the sake of being different. Innovation starts from a client-centered focus. The difference between starting a business because you want freedom and starting a business because you want to solve a problem is what makes you an innovator or not an innovator. Now, this isn't me saying, hey, if you're just starting a business here, a cookie cutter business, just because you want freedom or because you're sick of working your 9-to-5, this is not a knock at anyone, right? Like, that is a very valid reason to start a business. And many of us can relate to starting a business in part because of that. But if you want to be an innovator, if innovation is a big motivator for you, it is important that you also build your business from the starting point of wanting to solve a problem and wanting to solve it in a unique way, in a better way, okay? If you do not approach your business like this and innovation is a really big motivator for you, you will be disappointed, you will be burned out, and you will struggle to make a name for yourself in a way that feels fulfilling to you. It's really hard to stand out as an authority without having some sort of innovativeness to your approach. So if this is important to you, I highly encourage you to audit yourself and make sure that the things that you're creating start from a standpoint of problem solving. Start from a client-centered standpoint, not just problem solving for your sake, but problem solving for your client's sake. What I mean by this is making sure that you start by identifying a gap in your market. When I say gap, I really mean an untouched space. This could look like finding a problem that has not even been touched, or it could look like finding a problem that has been touched, but that hasn't been solved very effectively. Both of these are considered gaps. The gap in the second one is really in the solution, right? Maybe the problem's been touched, but there's a huge gap in the actual expectation of results, right? The clients aren't getting the results that they actually want. I want to talk about tools to help you get there, to help you identify this gap. I think the number one tool is to be a why woman, to be the person who asks why. Why is shit done this way? Why is everyone avoiding this topic? Why is this problem being ignored? Why is the status quo the status quo? Why am I afraid to shake up the status quo? Why am I afraid to stand up and say something bold? All of these questions are crucial for you to ask if you want to be someone who's actually going to solve this problem, because you need to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, if I want to be part of the solution versus perpetuating the problem as it is, then I need to be willing to ask the hard questions. And I need to be willing to recognize that it's going to be a more weathered path to get to that solution because I'm not just taking the easy path of doing what everybody else is doing. Innovating in the coaching industry means not just turning around and creating your 3-month, you know, $2,500 coaching program and slapping your name on it and using your mentor's exact framework. Innovating means figuring out a brand new way to solve this problem, creating a program and a structure based on what your audience needs and starting from questions that you ask them. Now, I think the important thing here is if you are a why woman, then you have to start with the market research. You have to be willing to ask the questions. You have to be willing to slow down the process, stop with your ego, turn to the people that you're trying to serve, and recognize that you don't have all the answers. Innovators don't pretend to have all the answers. Innovators don't feel pressured to have all the answers. Innovators don't believe that the answers lie within themselves solely. Innovators do recognize that the answers lie within the very people that are going to be investing in their solutions. Innovators realize that the truth to the best solution comes from a collective, comes from seeking out the areas of expertise of multiple people and tapping into those to find the best solution. In other words, they are not focused on the ego of needing to be the one person who comes up with it, but they're rather focused on the necessary actions that they need to take in order to truly find the best solution. It is quality over ego. It is seeking out the right way to do things over the most self-aggrandizing way to do the right things. This is all really important, I think, to share because I think so often we get so wrapped up in the ego of it all that we feel like, okay, well, we're an expert, so we need to have all the answers. And if I have to spend the time asking questions, then that means I'm, you know, out of my depths or I'm not actually the expert. When that is the farthest from the truth. The more of an expert you are, the more you realize just how much nuance, just how much shifting and change, just how much evolution, just how much depth there is to the people that you're serving. A novice looks at their audience in a very one-note way. They look at their audience and say, this is the core problem. This is the problem that they have been struggling with. This is the problem that they'll continue to struggle with. I'm going to boil it down to a sentence and I'm going to give you an offer that in a very broad strokes kind of way solves that problem. But have you noticed that the people who are much deeper experts in their fields, people who have been around the block for a long time, they get really niche. I mean, they have just endless, what seems like endless ideas of coming up with new courses, coming up with new offers, coming up with new products. It just keeps flowing and flowing. The reason is because they are constantly seeking more data. They are constantly having an ear to their clients' ground. They're constantly listening to what their clients are asking for. They're constantly taking in feedback. And that is a constant flow of inputs that then inspire their next innovative action. In other words, they are so open-minded to the fact that their audience has all the answers that they no longer have to sit there and rack their brain for the one broad stroke single solution that's going to solve it all. They get to listen and identify dozens and hundreds, just so many different options for all the little tiny itty bitty micro pieces of the problem that they can solve in unique individual ways in a much more pointed, kind of niched, honestly, higher quality way to solve those problems. Now, this isn't to say that innovation has to be in the minute, in the nuanced, in the tiny, but what I'm trying to explain here is that the more of an expert you become, the less you feel the need to rely on your own inner expertise to solve every problem. And in fact, the experts are the experts because they are the ones asking the questions. They are more quiet than they are talkers. They are listening. They are not explaining all the time. They are letting others explain to them. And in that pursuit, they are absorbing, they are analyzing, they are strategizing, and then they are creating. And they're creating with purpose. I could go on and on about this, and there will be more solo episodes where I'll continue to dive into this idea of innovation. But I really wanted to make sure to have this conversation early on in this podcast because it will inform the future interviews that I have with other experts in this stage. It will help you tap into that inner innovator, that inner why woman, the inner market researcher that will help you uncover all the tools that you need in order to become a more curious, a more creative, and a more innovative entrepreneur, and thus be able to create a name for yourself, be able to really build authority in your niche and in your field, and most importantly, I think and I hope to all of us, to actually leave behind a level of value and a level of impact that far exceeds those who are just simply in it to go through the motions, which again, there's nothing wrong with. But the point of innovation is truly to bring something unique to this world and to be able to solve problems that haven't been solved before. And if you want to solve new problems and you want to make the world a better place, then it does require a new approach, a new lens, a new way of thinking at things. And that requires so many different people to step up to the plate and be willing to do so. And I believe that in this audience, I believe that you listening, you individually have a unique perspective because of what you've been through in your life, because of the experiences you have, because of the knowledge you have, because of the talents that you have. You have the ability to bring something unique that no other single person can. What you now need is the inputs to help you get there, the inputs to help you achieve that big million-dollar unique innovative idea that's actually going to do all of that. I'm really excited to see what that looks like for you. And I'm excited for the next series of interviews that are coming up. You'll hear from, in this next series, a handful of people who are experts in different levels and different modalities of tapping into your inner creator, into, you know, the highest version of yourself, into the parts of you that are unique, so that you can approach problem solving with your unique lens. That will be the kind of focus of the next iteration of podcast episodes and guests that I have in, and that's as much as I'll tease for now. I'm really excited to continue diving into this journey with you. Please, if you haven't, go to my Instagram at Forza Collective, follow me, shoot me a DM, tell me how this podcast has been for you. Tell me who you'd love me to interview. Tell me what you'd love me to touch on in the way of innovation and diving into your inner innovator. I would love to hear, and I'm so excited to hear from you and connect in a little bit of a deeper way there. Okay, bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Master in Badassery. That shit was good, right? Now, if you loved the episode, don't forget to rate and review the podcast. And if you can't get enough of the content you're hearing here, join me over at Forza Collective on Instagram. That's Forza Collective on Instagram. And don't forget to send me a little DM and tell me that the podcast sent you so we could be friends. Okay, I'll catch you next Friday, same time, same place.